The views expressed on the Bicast do not necessarily represent those of Bynet USA or the Bicast crew.
Welcome to the Bicast, a podcast for the bisexual community. We want to talk about TERFs. Well, not really, but we need to.
I'm John.
I'm Lynette.
And I'm Allison Wilbert. One of the things we often discuss between the three of us are the trans-exclusionary radical feminists, and they're known as TERFs, or T-E-R-Fs for short. And so today's podcast, we thought it would be a good discussion to talk about the question on who are the TERFs, what are the TERFs, and what are the real issues that affect not only the bisexual community, but the gay, the lesbian, and the transgender community concerning TERFs. In a way, gender exclusionary is not the only thing that we can define when it comes down to what a TERF is. That's the terminology we use, but it's really not exactly a perfect terminology. So Lynette, what do you see as really a TERF?
You know, I would think it would be some, if he's trans-exclusionary, I have to think about this a minute. What do I say? I see him as dangerous, basically. Because it's not just a matter of the way of thinking of being exclusionary about trans individuals. They actually target trans individuals, trans women, correct? And they bully them. They out them. They out them to their families, to their police. There's cases of them calling their psychiatrists. They're very dangerous as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, we want to talk about the legal issues with them. So it's more than just being exclusionary. They are actually aggressive and dangerous as far as I'm concerned. And I'm speaking of a small group. I don't know if there's a larger group of TERFs, but I'm speaking of a particular group of them that do this.
Yeah, there was about, just as a general number base, they had a meeting in Portland in June, and they claimed that there were about 38 people there. Now, I have not seen 38 TERFs online. I simply haven't. There's a core group of 5 or 6, mm-hmm. Sometimes upwards to 10, that we see that are fairly active, and that's it. That's worldwide. So, as a group, they're really, really small. But, you know, John, what do you see? Why are the TERFs an issue?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I think there's within, especially, you know, how I always like to call it is, you know, lesbian separatism, right? The TERF part is just kind of one part of a whole, like, kind of really dogmatic politic that, you know, like I said, it really comes from the 70s, right? I mean, you know, there was a piece, a Bendel piece, she just has a book out about choosing, you know, choosing lesbianism, right? It's part of the same, it's part of the same kind of ideology. It also, as, and my kids are like, what's the TERFs? What are you doing about the TERFs, right? What is this whole thing about? And I was like, they hate everybody who has had or has ever had a penis. And where their focus is like really attacking trans leaders, right? And by extension, anyone who supports trans leaders, right? When AJ got mislabeled as a heterosexual, I said, well, you know, in 2007, and basically in 2007, in Maryland, we had the marriage bill and the trans inclusion bill, right? The bill that I think, oh my God, when it got separated in 2003 when ENDA passed in Maryland, it went from 2003 to this session, so 11 years between like passing the rest of the ENDA bill and the trans parts of the ENDA bill with other pieces attached. It was 11 years, and I'll tell you, in this state, in Maryland, what we would call TERFs now, were very active in dividing the community in trying to keep trans people out, to attack anybody who was supporting, you know, trans rights in the state. And, you know, I think, and it came back. It was like, I think one of the first times I met Allison was over the Colorado case, right? And they actually doxed a 16-year-old child. And that's what they did.
Let's. I want to just right here. Can you just briefly explain what doxing is for us, Allison? Because a lot of people aren't going to know what that means.
Yeah, doxing is a legal form of grabbing public information off the web and then putting it on your website. We all do it all the time. Let me see how I can explain this easily. Let's say we get a quote from a fundamentalist pastor, for example, and we grab that soundbite and we grab a picture of him from his public profile. That's called doxing. It's making a document on the web, basically. So it's perfectly legal. Everybody is doing it. It's not like a situation where, you know, somebody's being nefarious and sneaking into your accounts. That's not happening. They're just literally going to articles or publications and taking a piece out of it and then talk about it.
Right.
Where it becomes problematic is when you slander the individual, you defame the individual, you use it as a weapon or a tool to not necessarily state your opinion, but change what the person is actually portraying. So you have a situation where the individuals can actually be held accountable if they slander you through doxing. So there are some very fine technical lines and grayness in this kind of thing. And so far it hasn't been tested in court with the TERFs. However, I am pretty sure that's going to happen. So, you know, when you're talking about doxing a person, you're talking about, you know, grabbing a piece. Now, what the TERFs do is kind of a little unique. They like to misgender trans people or bisexual or any ally. And so what they do is they come up and they dead name us. And what a dead name is our old prior name prior to a legal name change. So that's part of what happens. So they dead name us. And then they misgender us. You know, there's no laws against misgendering a person. There's no laws against dead naming a person. So they come in and they say for a trans woman, he. Or, you know, in the case of AJ, for example, when she put out some information, they said, well, you're a heterosexual. So they wouldn't say bisexual. They're just saying you're a cis hetero woman that, you know, isn't part of our movement. So they distort that. They distort the truth to support the agenda. I mean, really, the TERFs are our community's Westboro. Our community meaning mainly transgender people, but those who are allies also.
You know, what I've seen, at least in the Colorado case, was like actually going further, right? This is a minor who like didn't want to have all this public, and we could talk about that more. Like, she was on suicide watch, right?
Yeah.
For the kind of like assault that they actually were part of,
and they slandered her, John. That was another thing that happened, was they actually said she had made some sort of egregious behavior in a bathroom, which was totally false.
Yeah. It was a horrible incident for that girl. You know, exactly. I remember that. And that was before he was even in this community. And I thought, well, that is just horrible. And that was TERF-based. I mean, they just really did her damage. You know, thank God she had a lot of people around. I mean, she was strong, but...
Well, another thing that they did, just as an example of some of the harms, was they put out this whole false doctrine and all these false statements about getting attacked in bathrooms. Now, we all know the bathroom nonsense. It comes up every time somebody has an objection to a human being who's trans. And one of the things about that is that, you know, Pacific Coast Institute or Pacific Justice League, whoever it was that was doing the bathroom bill in California, Kathy Brennan was primary in putting out a bunch of statements that were patently false. And she got called out on it. There's several articles on the web about that. But they like to do this kind of thing. They like to do black and white thinking. They like to, you know, misgender. And they like to create havoc
That's the word.
Havoc.
Create havoc for the sake of it, or to deflect, or to muddy waters, or whatever reason they do it. But it just—it seems like just randomless hate. I mean, you just have to read some of the things they put out, and you just like, why? Why? It makes no sense.
You know, it's hard. It's a hard subject because I have empathy for these folks, and I know a lot in my community are like, why do you have empathy for these people? There's something significantly mentally wrong with these folks. I don't know what it is. I'm not a psychologist or psychiatrist or a social worker, but there is something deviant in how they go about this. I've always felt that the first incredibly important in free speech. If you have an issue with transgender people, I'm cool with that. I'm cool that you've got a discussion point that you feel is valid and you want to come out to the public and talk about it. I think that's fully valid. When you start going after individuals and targeting those individuals through doxing, through harassing their work, harassing their schools, calling their psychologist, you have crossed a line. And that line now becomes litigatable. And I'm one of the TERF's favorites. I mean, I end up once a month on Gender Identity Watch, their page, and they love me. And they misgender me, and they're like, oh, you know, this dude, this man, you know, and they do all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't bother me. And this is my conjecture. I think it's based on, you know, these are victims. These are people who have been victimized. And Kathy Brennan has openly stated that she has been raped. And I have a lot of empathy for that. I feel terrible that someone violated her to such a degree. But still, this is a situation where victims become victimizers. And that's that's the current situation that we now have. We have TERFs violating other people. And it's a sad scene. You know,
the whole thing is that, which I have sympathy for. We all have you know, all in this room have had, you know, I'm not going to go out and attack every man or trans person, and I'm not even know why I would, because of that. You know, and that, I think normal people think that way. I don't understand the hate.
You know, I go back, and it is like, it's an identity politic, first of all. That's why I always go back to say, can't say you're a radical feminist. You're a lesbian separatist. That was instilled at me so many years ago by the radical feminist in the shower right now, for instance, right? Mm-hmm. That, you know, there is a difference. And, you know, she talks about, like, that was a pressure within school, right? It was like the Dworkin thing, right? You know, penetration is great, right? That having sex with a man made you a traitor to feminism, right? Mm-hmm. These were ideologies that were coming up from the 70s to the 80s, and people went through those. There were women that went through these things. Some were actually heterosexual who were told, like, mm-hmm. you have to choose lesbianism or you're not a feminist, you're a traitor. And some were bisexual. And in other cases, others were lesbians, but, like, there was this kind of pressure of this separatist movement that this is the politic. This is another piece that still stands. The people that threw Sylvia Rivera out in New York were lesbians, right? I mean, they were lesbians who said, no, you're a fake woman, right? It's like, oh, yeah, so, you know, I'm at Stonewall. Where were you at Stonewall, right? And Sylvia's. There's a, like, I guess to me there's this whole historic momentum that kind of leads to this. Like, I think, you know, where are they, right? Because, like, one of the last thing I got in trouble for was MishFest and signing the Equality Michigan petition with my city, right?
I want to thank you for signing that, because you know what happened based out of that incident? Gender Identity Watch's Twitter account over them doing the Michigan Fest thing. That is how they lost their account. And because they went to the list and began harassing everybody. So one of the platforms that they've been using heavily to harass people was shut down. Now they've invented a new one. That's what they do. But it's still, you know, it's significant because they've lost all their followers. They have to rebuild that whole process again, you know, and it's a painful process. They lost their Facebook page twice, you know, again. And it limits down their exposure.
Oh, and they keep making new ones, and we keep finding them, and that's fine.
You know,
I just wanted to point out that there's this new rumor that's trying to be spread, is that the trans community is actually the aggressor attacking this poor group, that they just have a difference of opinion, like it's a schoolyard squabble, and that the trans community is the one that's actually being the aggressor against Gender Identity Watch. I just want to point out that these people have been doing this for a long, long time, and now just being the trans community is just answering it and just saying, hey, that's enough. And I think that's very important, because that rumor is going around that, oh, trans community is doing it, and they're all attacking these four girls, you know, who just have a difference of opinion. And
you know, this comes back to something, and I was thinking about this earlier today. I grew up, I want to give two different analogies. I grew up in a fundamentalist Christian conservative church, and I think I've talked a little bit about this. And one of the things that cults do and hate groups do is they do a real clear black and white thinking. The fundamentalist Christianity that I grew up in had a single verse that was, instruments weren't allowed in the church, that you're supposed to make melodies with your heart. That was the verse. So somebody in their radical thinking and their distorted thinking, black and white thinking, said, well, the New Testament doesn't have anything in it about instruments at all, so therefore Jesus didn't want instruments. So they made this huge leap. The TERFs do this as well. Almost all the things they do are black and white thinking. They don't think anything beyond a chromosome. You know, genetically we have the XY, this kind of thing for male and female, whatever. But what they like to do is say that is the only litmus test that exists. They don't take into effect genes or anything else. It's unfortunate because all their issues are exaggerated. That's one of the classic things of a hate group and a cult, is they exaggerate a basis in things that aren't fact. They may be one fact, but they're not the fact. And the TERFs are very, very good at this. It's been very difficult for all our communities to kind of combat and really provide quality information concerning this. But I think you're right, John. I think they're, you know, their focus on the penis is something that is absolutely astounding. It's it is the topic of their lives. And for allegedly lesbian women, that all they want to talk about is how much they hate somebody's penis, I think they have a real issue going on. I don't think it's about trans women. I think they're terrified of men. I think they don't see any men that are quality men. And that's absurd.
I used to, and I don't even know if either one of them are still publishing, but I used to explain that various lesbian communities and sex positive, well, it came to sex positives and sex negative. You know, it was off our backs versus on our backs, right? Wow. And that was the, and it was funny because we had a housemate whose girlfriend was working at Off Our, she was interning at Off Our Backs for a semester, right? And she's bi. And the Christmas party comes, and she brings her male boyfriend. It was to die for. We weren't there. We just heard all the stories of what happened. And it is like, and yeah, I mean, I remember when, like, we were banned from music festivals, right? You know, I think, like, one of the ones that actually opened the door was Sister Fire. Like, if you were male and you had lesbian companions with you, then you were okay. Right? And that, oh my God, I don't remember how many years ago that was. But, you know, that was actually, I mean, and we're talking before, even before the beginning of Camp Trans in 91, right? So I'm thinking probably 89, 90, 80, you know, 88. And that was already starting to break up on this coast then.
I think they just feel incredibly threatened. I have zero interest in the TERFs. I just don't. Lynette, we had a discussion. There was a huge blow-up that you and I had with a friend of ours, and it was over giving Kathy Brennan an actual platform on a radio program by a transgender man. Yeah. And that action alone, I find egregious, that anybody would give her a platform based on the hate she spews. You had a lot of interaction in that. What causes harm when you give, you know, what's the harm in letting someone like this on a radio show or on whatever platform of media they put them on?
First of all, psychologically, this actually, people start saying, well, this person actually condones this kind of behavior. I don't care what goes on in the interview. The fact that you actually have that person on your show, by association, you are actually showing that you condone this person. And also, destructive, you know, whatever happens, whatever they're going to do, they're going to be destructive.
Yep. Well, you know, one of the problems I see with it is anytime you give someone a platform to spew hatred, whether you're just trying to, quote, see their point or build a bridge or something like this, the TERFs are not people that we can build a bridge with. You know, I think, Lynette, one of the things you said at one point in time was no matter how big a manure pit, you can't build a bridge over it that's not going to smell. And
exactly.
It's very difficult, in my opinion, to let, you know, the KKK on TV to talk about their issues, or you keep going down that Westboro. You know, let's bring them on gay radio station and talk to them why they hate all of it. And again, these are limited, tiny, small hate groups. So I think, you know, I think that platform issue is a problem.
The main thing I want to say about that is that, first of all, you're falling into that sensationalizing something that shouldn't be sensationalized. You're actually doing what I call Jerry Springering, which is destructive. And whether I don't think that that should happen. I don't think that you should give them the airtime, that they can come up with their own airtime. They can do that on their own. Spreading that around is not helpful. It isn't. And I don't feel the need, personally or for my show, to let them answer any of that. They can do that on their own time. They don't need to do it on my show.
People kind of get put in the middle on these kind of things, right? A gay senator was one of the people that took him on. And I felt like it was so many fighting words, right? Every time, and Neil Parrott was in the Post, he was in the Sun, he was in every local paper, he was on just about every TV station. It was like really a couple months of hate speech on our airwaves, okay? It must have been 2 or 3 days after they didn't get their first qualifier for the ballot. We had a trans murder in Baltimore. Like, not too many more weeks later, we had another trans murder in Baltimore, right? You know, and it's like, oh, maybe it's a coincidence. But fighting words are fighting words. And I think what happens is like, oh, you know, like, Kathy be nice and say, well, you know, it's just like a few people and they're, I'm just a nice person and I really love trans people and blah, blah, blah. I have no problem. But there's the other side, right, that is actually causing harm and actually are fighting words and do cause violence. And, you know, that's to me where it all comes down. And is, you know, Allison, you see them as born-again Christians. I see them as trots. I see them as Trotskyites, right? They have, like, there's a very top-down structure. There's a party line. You do not deviate. Anybody who does not got that complete party line is not part of the core, and they don't know anything, no matter who they are.
And that's true, John. Let me kind of catch up a couple things that you discussed. One, about this giving them a platform. There's a couple things going on with that. One is that TERFs, well, first off, there's a discussion in the trans community whether to even engage them in any sort of confrontation. And the wisdom of the 70s, 80s, and 90s was you don't discuss, you don't get involved with it, and it loses oxygen, and it dies off eventually. Well, that worked when we didn't have a live internet 24/7 that people can build their platform on and grow. One of the things Southern Poverty Law Center was saying this year was that hate groups have grown over the past number of years. And that is fairly consistent with what has happened with Gender Identity Watch. For several years, there was no challenge. There was no platform. We denied that and said, we're simply not going to discuss it with you. Go get lost. And they grew from a core of about 6 or 7 people to what we're hearing is now 38. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that's accurate. We no longer have the luxury of denying the confrontation. We have to go confront this head on and continue to confront it. Okay. Even if there's 8 or 9 people involved here, these 8 or 9 people have stirred up state legislators. Yeah. They have attacked trans people, such as the trans youth in Colorado. They have went to the, you know, all sorts of various places to deny us basic human rights. And I had a lot of confrontation, even within the trans community, about, well, you know, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do this. You shouldn't go confront them. And now we have a tracker, you know, like we all know. There's now a TERF tracker that we're putting information in on these folks so we can track them and we can show others. And not only that, you know, data is king here. People can come over to the website at probably later in the week and start seeing their names and searching them out so that they don't get into our Facebook and they don't get into our family lives. So there's a reasonable way to deny them a platform. We obviously don't have a one-to-one correlation in most cases of a TERF action resulting in a harm to the community. However, recently Dana Taylor has been attacked literally online by the TERFs. And again, they dox the soup out of these people. But we have an actual suicide attempt based off of the TERFs' actions on Twitter and on Facebook. So there's an actual one-to-one correlation in that particular instance. Do I know all the specifics of that case? No. But we're starting to see, like you said, these fighting words, this hate speech.
Yes.
It's starting to have ramifications where people are getting hurt. And, you know, Gender Identity Watch and the Brennanites, as we have loosely termed these people, the followers of Brennan, they're getting what they want in the sense that they're harming people. And that's ultimately what they want. They can get on TV any day of the week and say, well, you know, we really just don't want to harm these people. Every action they do in doxing, misgendering, deadnaming, calling things out, they're harming people. There's no doubt in my mind about that. We listed Gender Identity Watch as a hate group on the Trans Violence Tracking Portal because that's what they are. They're a hate group. They're no different than the KKK. They're no different than Westboro. They're no different than a dozen other hate groups. This is a hate organization that happens to hate us.
Yeah. I think that's why it's important to me to not to give them any platform. I said they can do that on their own. And any time that they can come on and say, we're just this poor little group that you don't do anything, that's seen by millions and millions and millions of people. That's what they get. That's what the public sees. So that it just reinforces the illusion they aren't harmful. And it's misinformation. So I think it's very important to not... It's part of the social media problem that disinformation goes out and they say, this is it. And they say, well, these people let these people on here, so they must agree with this. And it's a snowball effect that happens and it would do damage to a lot of people to allow that to happen.
Yeah. You know, I guess one of the things I'll just hit real quick is the New Yorker article, right? And you were saying, oh, yeah, it's like these are two equal groups that are like having a battle over politics. That was really the tenor of that article. And I have to tell you, I skimmed it, right? I did not read the whole thing. I mean, you know, but I saw enough of it and I knew what was going on. And, you know, that is like, you know, this is like the mainstream. This is the, you know, like this is how the mainstream in the United States is reporting this issue right now, right? And it was funny because, you know, people I talk to that read it, like, because they know where I'm at and they, you know, are pretty educated, they were like, this is really bad. I can see just by this article that it's bad. It's not like, you know, trans people are denying these lesbians freedom of speech because they can't speak at the library or they can't speak in England or they can't speak, you know, and that, you know, that's kind of like the culmination of how the issue works, right? And like, you know, what was missing from it all was that the damage that they're doing, the TERFs are doing, and it's also like, it's, you know, it's transgender denial, which is like, you know, I'm reading it in The Guardian, and then I see, like, here's a feminist who says, like, you know, it's an equal, you know, she's judging, she's on the outside, she's just saying they're equal, right? And that's the, you know, and that's really the problem.
No, that's exactly it. That's the problem I'm talking about, is that it's being portrayed as this little schoolyard battle between, you know, some women who don't agree with each other, and it's not that at all. And they said, well, we shouldn't be getting involved, and they all should behave, and the trans community should quit trying, you know, quit making such a big deal about it. And it's like, no, this is a dangerous situation. You know, these people do great harm to people. people, and they need to be called out and held accountable. And I find it, this is not the only article I've heard that kind of talk coming from, and it's really concerning me.
There's several articles that have been out over the past roughly, you know, 3 or 4 months. We had Turf Week, where there was a ton of articles that came out on this particular type of group. But you're both right. You know, giving these individuals a platform is a mistake. It's harmful. It's damaging to people. And I think there's a difference between what this person was claiming of building a bridge and destroying everything around the foundation of that. I mean, there is no bridge building when it comes to TERFs.
There's no bridge, but there is no bridge building, no matter what, if the community wanted to. Because, first of all, they don't want any bridges built. They want to just go ahead and create havoc, not trans community. Excuse me, I want a gender identity watch group. They don't want a bridge built. They want to continue exactly how they are. And appointing yourself some kind of ambassador between the two groups is never going to work, because the trans community, these are not people that you want to just get along with. They're trying to do them harm. There is no bridge to be built here. There is no reconciliation, because you're saying that there's a possibility for reconciliation, and saying it is reducing it to just a little squabble, and it's just, that's not true.
Yeah, they try to deny us safe spaces. It's one of the things that is a big issue.
Yes.
And again, they don't really go after trans men. It's mainly trans women. You know, they have on occasions gone after trans men, but it is a rarity. But they want to deny specifically trans women safe spaces. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then they make these claims of, we don't want to harm anybody, but, you know, when somebody's going to beat you up in your bathroom, well, you better change. You know, it's a denial of location for safety, and that's significant. That is a harm. I would never walk into a male bathroom today, never. The chance of me being harmed is extreme. I have trans men who have been raped in the bathrooms. We have bona fide cases that we've verified that this has happened. It's difficult. We have trans women that have been harmed in bathrooms. You know, the McDonald's incident right there in Baltimore.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, and that person was harmed for life. They want to deny the safe haven, and they want to promote people like these two individuals that beat up a trans woman. And,
yeah,
you know, that is an actual harm. It's not like, oh, I've got a difference of opinion with you. That's not what we're dealing with here. And, you know, it's like Monica Roberts on Transgria pointed out that, you know, you don't ignore bigots that have access to power. You confront them head on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know,
exactly.
I actually think facilities is something that, I mean, lots of us in, lots of us in the, under the really big umbrella have had our problems in facilities, or, you know, it was like, anyways, John Becker a few weeks ago was like, you know, talk about like the time that you got, you know, attacked in the shower or beat up in the shower. And it's like, I just didn't want to do that one, right, that time. And, you know, it's like, you know, so you would think that people under this umbrella really understand that, you know, that the queer people are the victims of, you know, what happens in bathrooms, not the perpetrators. I mean, you know, it was like, I'll tell you, it was many years ago in Montgomery County when the county accommodations bill was put up to ballot, right? There was a born-again Christian who cross-dressed, went into one of the spas, went into the women's dressing room and, like, proceeded to, like, harass the women, right? This was a born-again Christian who was trying to get petitions signed, who was trying to get media, right? I mean, oh, yeah, that's an incident that happened, but it wasn't a trans person.
Right. That was exposed. There were several articles that exposed that.
Oh, no, I mean, it was all in the news that night. I mean, you know, like, it must have been 2008, because I remember we were like, oh, man, we're going to have to go to Montgomery County and like do door knocking instead of like, well, Obama had already won, but there were other races here. You know, it was just kind of funny because like the way it works here is we're the east side, we're the west side. It's very like, I mean, yeah, race, class, everything is kind of divided in this, you know, in this city, the people that have the resources. It never did come to a vote because, you know, petitions were fraudulently signed. They were misrepresenting themselves. I mean, aside from this, like, this incident that was staged that made it on the local media. So, I mean, I think we've, like, haven't we really covered this all? I mean,
well,
I think we've covered just about everything, but there are some fine points, I think, yeah, here.
One of the things is it's not just a transgender issue. And that's one of the things I think that is really important to point out on Bicast. We've talked a lot about gender identity watching and these individuals in this TERF group, but they also deny, you know, that gay men, they think that is a preference. That they've said this in several different ways all over their blogs, and we have a couple people that have documented it, but they think that being gay is a preference, that you can change that. They think that sexual orientation is also a preference. And maybe it is for some, but for the majority of people I know, this was a born condition just like gender identity. I mean, we know from a gender identity perspective that there are genes that we have had identified that are part of our makeup. But they deny, you know, gay men are really gay. Instead, they think they're heteromisogynists. You know, there's all this kind of again, black and white thinking. So I think that's a point that we need to make, that this isn't a battle just about transgender people. This is a battle for sexual orientation and gender identity as a whole, as a community.
And I will add, it's also all feminist, because this is, you know, I will say that, oh, you know, like one of my friend's blogs, one of his writers did a thing on the MRAs, the, you know, the men's rights activists.
Right.
Which is like, is a real subset that came out of like all kinds of different movements ways years ago. And so, you know, I got into this discussion with one of the MRAs and I said, you know, actually I do think sometimes they make correct points, but you know, it's just like, it is this, they do this victim thing too. And that day, the conversation was like quotes of Kathy Brennan to say that feminism is wrong, right? And I said, you know, I don't like her either, and I have lots of criticisms of her perspective. She does not represent any feminist except like a very, very, very tiny part of the lesbian separatist movement.
And, yeah, that would be the wrong person to be quoting.
No, it is like, but you see, MRAs say she is the person that is pulled out in this situation to say this is what feminism is about, right? The other thing was like I went and actually read the Tumblr that like I'm not a feminist, and I mean some of them were just really wrong, and some of them actually like, that, you know, I don't believe that women are superior to men, or that, you know, I like to have sex with men, so I can't be a feminist, because feminists can't have sex with men. And so where does that come from? It comes from that same ideology, right?
But it's so flawed. I mean, but I guess that doesn't make any sense in this world. I mean, that doesn't make any difference in this world. Logic seems to be kind of like a rare gem.
You know,
what I'm trying to do is say that
you're right.
This is where it harms everybody, and it's not just an LGBT.
Yeah.
It's a feminism issue, and of course, you know, LGBT issues are issues of feminism too, right? I think sometimes we lose some sight of that, but it's a broader issue, right?
One of the things that they like to do, you know, and again, black and white thinking, exaggeration, this kind of stuff, is they put out all the time, all women as they are the representatives of all women, are all lesbians. And this is a constant mantra. You can go back through the historical perspective. That's one of the things they always say. All lesbians think that transgender people should not be in a bathroom with them. Well, that's patently false. I've got literally hundreds of lesbian friends, not one, two, three, or eight of Kathy and her Brennanites or the TERFs. I have hundreds of lesbian friends who have supported us in this movement. And so, no, it's not all lesbians. In fact, you're such a minority that the 30 of you that hate us or the 40 of you that hate us, you know, aren't even in a rational place to make these kind of statements. But, you know, the MRAs, you know, they go to Kathy Brennan, which is kind of amazing that they use her, you know, as the ultimate hater. Well, I mean, she ultimately hates anybody that doesn't agree with her is kind of what I see. Yeah. So if you're a bisexual, if you're a lesbian, if you're a trans person, you know, the second that you disagree is all of a sudden, well, you're not really bisexual, you're heterosexual, shut up.
Yeah. I mean, you know, signing petitions is great, you know, and if all of, please, go do all that, be supported that way. But I mean, in public saying, you know, this is not code of conduct that is acceptable anymore.
But I mean,
at a large scale, I don't mean just like, you know, because I have several people that I know that don't put up with any kind of biphobia comments that come their way. I mean, I know they don't. And they don't identify as bisexual, you know. Yeah. But, and lesbian and everything else, but I think that we have to have some kind of call to everyone to say that's enough. We don't function that way.
What? But Equality Michigan was a huge step, right? First, yeah. Equality Michigan, yes. And HRC did some work on it too, which is like, you know,
next.
Everybody can change. I'll just say that. We actually had a national counter march in 2K here.
Glad's doing a lot with the bisexual community. They do a lot with the trans community too. So that's cool. That's great. And I love that. And I would really like to see more public support come. I really would.
You know, for our allies
and for us.
It's been a big change, and I think that that's a real reason we're seeing more of the activity with the TERFs. There's been a huge shift in 3 years in the nation's understanding of what transgender is. I think there's been a huge shift in what bisexuality is. I see the harassment levels for myself going down somewhat. Maybe that's because I've been out longer, but I'm not like the grocery store clerk isn't acting like an idiot, this kind of localized stuff. And maybe they've just seen me enough over, you know, 5 years or whatever. But, you know, I see the TERFs as a continual problem that our allies should constantly be calling out their behaviors and saying this is inappropriate. Whether the community will actually do that, that's probably a whole different discussion we could spend 10 or 12 hours on.
Yeah, well,
I think they will.
Yeah, I mean, I do think, like, you know, one of the problems that I think that we go over and over and over is comments in social media, right? And what kind of spaces do we provide for in social media? What is allowed? What is not? You know, I mean, the blog I used to actually write for. I mean, it was really pretty clear, right? And I'll tell you another thing. You know, like the other one that I was kind of associated with. I think I told you all this story that invariably phobia is associated with anything going on culture, right? There is this, like, and that comes from liberals. And, you know, like, I saw this and I said, hey, man, don't you understand this is transphobic? And he was like, yeah, why didn't I see that this is transphobic? He's a straight guy, right? And, like, from then on, it was like, you know, anytime he put something on Ann Coulter, there was, like, a little message at the bottom. You use transphobic speech here, you're out.
But then there was a lack of moderation in the comments section, because most every place.
Well, but it is like places like, and I'll tell you, you know, like The Advocate, you know, our publications, right, is a really good case in point. There is not enough filtering. I mean, we get, there are wars on HuffPo on articles, you know. There are wars there's comment war, right? And, you know, I actually don't know how helpful they are. You know, I
don't
think
know.
Actually some of our allies will not go there because, you know, they will not go to a comment section. They will read an article and they will stop there because they do not want to be pulled into it.
You know, it's magnified, and this is the thing about social media. One person, by sitting all day in a computer typing comments into the HuffPost, will become a top commenter and go right to the top. And we don't have any boundaries in social media. It's a real problem, because freedom of speech has now gone to the point of you can say anything about anybody, anytime, anywhere, and it's on the web forever. We're not talking 10 minutes or 5 years or 20 years or going out of print. Unless the website goes down, it is forever. And there's even a site that historically documents sites that go down.
On the Wayback Machine,
Yeah. So, you know, this kind of rhetoric, part of the confrontation process is putting out the counterpoints, over and over again on the same spew that is being done. It's funny in the trans world, and in the bi world. We get somebody who puts spew on the page, it's garbage, we know it's garbage, it's scientifically wrong, it's unethical, and we go out and we post the same response, basically, that we did 6 months ago to the same argument that the same person did. But you have to have that documentation in place. I've often said I really think people ought to have a driver's license to get on the internet, because this is like an insane process. People who are completely ill are becoming the authorities.
I think that's why I keep going at it, is because these people, if we don't say anything in the comment, and it's not for everyone to be in there, please don't go there if you don't, you know, you're not prepared to, you know,
yeah, they're
deal
ugly.
With it. Yeah, they're ugly. They're really, really bad. But if we don't answer these people, this feud just gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And you have to give logical counterpoints to this. So that's out there. So that's being seen by all those people who never answer and, you know, read all of that. And I'm talking to the bisexuals and who are out there, who are in the closet, who are questioning, who feel terrible about themselves to begin with, and then they read these things that they write, and that just, you know, that just solidifies that self-hate even more about themselves. And this, you know, the good chance they'll never come out, and you know where that leads to.
Yep.
So it's a very much sword there, you know. Yes, sometimes it seems like a useless argument to keep going at it like that, but then again, if you don't answer them, it just keeps going. You have to give a counterpoint.
One of the reasons,
it'll keep going anyway. There's nothing wrong. I mean, it's always good. There's always going to be hate-filled people out there.
Sure.
But if you don't say anything, it grows into this big festering wound that there's no one to answer for that, to give
no,
you're wrong.
It's called moderation. And, you know, it's like, I'll tell you, you know, one of the great things is that, you know, anybody that uses the Facebook API commenting, if you report them from the comment, and The Advocate is a really good example of this, right? But others use Facebook API for commenting. You click that X, you go to Facebook, you block them, you say it's hate speech, and it's hate speech. I mean, when people use hate speech, they're using hate speech. When someone attacks someone for whatever, you know, I mean, I have, you know, if a gay person attacks me as bisexual, it's hate speech. If a lesbian attacks a transgender person for being transgender, it's hate speech, right? It is reportable. It is reportable to Facebook. And I think that sometimes we do too much of, like, getting into these troll kind of spaces and less in just saying, no, you can't do this. You can't do that. Doing hate speech. And so, you know, I, you know, and it is, I actually feel very battered from, like, really, like a few, like the last few weeks of, like, not social media, but the comments in social media, right?
And yes. That's amazing. And, great articles.
And Twitter stuff and all that kind of stuff. And it's just like, you know, and I've been there before, so.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure we could probably spend another 6 months talking about the TERFs because there's, and social media.
Yeah, I think we've got topic.
You know, we will have links, by the way, on the Bycast page for a variety of the things about, you know, how to learn more about the TERFs. Let's see, what do we have here? We have several articles that have come out during TERF Week. We've got where the Trans Violence Tracking Portal declared GID a hate group. We have the TERF article about the absurdity of their theories and how to confront it and what are they really doing. So there's a lot of good articles out there that we'll have on the webpage to look at this.
Yeah.
But
thank you.
You know, kind of wrapping up here just for a few minutes, TERFs are dangerous people. Okay, they're dangerous in their ideologies. They're dangerous in the fact that they deny people an actual place of safety. They harm people. This is not a light group. This is not a schoolroom squabble. This is real individuals with real actions that create real consequences and real violence. And I think, John, you're dead on. Hate speech is hate speech.
Mm-hmm.
This is the trans community, trans women's community, Westboro Baptist. They are an incredible hateful group. And I hope the listeners of this podcast have learned some things. It takes a while to understand their arguments. It's all double speak. It's all double talk. They tell all sorts of things, and they turn it back and forth and back and forth. So it's really a sad group of people that have not much more to do with their lives and spend a lot of time hating. But there's a couple things that, you know, did anybody have any final comments?
We didn't talk about Kathy Brennan Esquire at all, did we?
Kathy Brennan Esquire?
I'm talking about suing.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay, so we're not going to wrap up. We're going to talk about Kathy Brennan and her sue mess.
Yeah.
Kathy Brennan is an attorney. She's barred in Maryland and somewhere else. I think it was New York. I may be wrong. You know, there was some people that did some research on it. Kathy has not been in court in years. I mean, this is not like this is, you know, she goes to court every day on this, and she likes to taunt that. Hey, you want to sue me? Sue me. Here's my address. And she'll throw her address out there online, that kind of thing. She's entertaining. She's entertaining. Basically, I think she's a lawyer in a big firm that basically makes their money about off of collections of bad checks. I mean, this is not a trial lawyer. This is not a defense attorney. This is someone who handles bad checks. She may have some credentials. I don't know what they are. But there are constant dribble out of the turf, sue us, sue us, sue us. You know, and like Westboro won their lawsuit. They actually won that lawsuit based on freedom of speech to go to somebody's funeral, antagonize them, and the Supreme Court upheld that Westboro had that right to free speech. Brennan and her TERFs have the right to free speech. What they don't have the right, though, is defamation of character, slander, or actual harms that they create against an individual. There is a very fine line between free speech and what they're doing, and they play in that gray area. But you're right. She is an attorney. There have been multiple bar complaints against her. There have been multiple contacts with her employer. And those are going to continue. That's not going anywhere. So if Kathy's listening on, you know, prepare to live a miserable life because we're coming to hold you accountable. And it's not just me. There are a lot of others who are going to hold you accountable.
Well, one of the things I heard that out there was a period where they were doing like the Westboro Baptist churches where they would get people to engage with them and then sue them for slander. And I don't know if that was any truth to that or not.
I'm not aware of any lawsuits. There may be some out there. I mean, I'm not aware of any published lawsuit. You know, it's all a game. It's a massive game where they say, oh yeah, sue us, sue us. you know.
Oh, okay. That's what the referral is to then. Not that it actually really ever happened, but it's one of their tactics.
Correct. It's a tactic.
So it's, you know, it's kind of a way of saying, you know, I'm going to say whatever I want, but if you argue with me, then I'm going to put this threat of litigation up there.
Well,
even if they're saying sue us, what they're really saying is that we would love to engage in legal battle with you.
Well, and that's what they want. They want a legal battle to set a precedent, and they want to take that precedent forward. The TERFs are losing. It's another thing that we've missed. The TERFs are losing this battle on every single front that it exists. They have a couple cases where they've written, you know, Kathy Mabee is the author of that, a friend of the court briefs, things like this. The TERFs are losing every single facet of their movement, everything. Laverne Cox is on the cover of Time magazine. The Trans Violence Tracking Portal is being used in international news. We're gaining rights in every single state. We have employment discrimination law of Title VII protecting us now. Every single location that they have tried to withhold our rights, they have lost. And they have this Price Waterhouse decision back in, I think it was the early 2000s, that they keep saying, this is where we won, this is where we won. And it was quoted for a little while, up until it getting into the court cases that have been recent. And now they have no wins. They don't have anything that they've won in many years, 5, 6, 7 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what the support for our law was in this state? Between 72% and 74%. Of course, you know, you're going to have to wait. You can't come across the border to Maryland expect to have facilities until October 1st. So you're going to have to hold it for like 3 more weeks.
John, you hold it for 3 more weeks. All right, baby. Get up, hon. You hold it for 3 more weeks. I can assure you, if I come into Maryland, I don't have even a thought about it. But you know, the reality is this. They've lost this war. And I told Kathy that on a chat I had with her. They have lost this war. It is over. It is done. And they can scream and yell, and, you know, it's like the KKK and the Civil Rights Movement. They lost that war. It is over. We have federal rulings. It's never going to go to Supreme. Supreme has already ruled multiple times that gender identity is gender. It is sex. And there's lots of rulings on that now. Their game is done. Now all they can do is harass us. You know, it's like the KKK showing up at an NAACP meeting. It's kind of stupid. You lost your war, people. Go back, lick your wounds. But
no, yeah, my fear is for all those fragile young people out there, not even young, but fragile trans people in transit, that they will just continue to attack, though, because, hey, I don't know why. But
well, that's why we have the TERF tracker. That's exactly why we have that. Young individuals who are transgender or anybody who's interested can go look at a list of who are these people.
Yeah.
That creates safety in our communities, and that's what it's for. I mean, I have zero interest in putting Kathy Brennan on a webpage. Zero. It's on my second lowest priority, next to going and cleaning up my yard. You know, you have to do it for sanitation reasons. You know, but there's no happy joy in this. This is like, it's a mess.
Yes, it's very unsatisfying to be doing this. I'm sorry. I feel invaded by them to begin with, you know, and to have to, you know, do this really kind of pisses me off. I don't get any thrill out of, you know, doing a show about TERFs, but it's necessary, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'd much rather be talking about another subject, but I think the educational capacity is important in our communities.
Multiple times, so.
Well, sometimes you have to go through a few times. I just want to remind everybody, you're not wrong, you're not broken, you are not alone, you are a human being, and you are bisexual or trans. Jen Yockney was recently on, and she mentioned, well, you could be all of those things, but it's not because your sexual orientation or your gender. And I agree with that totally. But I always say that, and we always say that, because I remember what it felt like when I first started questioning. and pretty much all my life, I really did feel wrong and broken. So that's just kind of an affirmation for everyone. Okay.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
The views expressed on the Bicast do not necessarily represent those of Binet USA or the Bicast crew.